ever get that feeling. Like you've poured hours into perfecting something online.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's redesigning your website or writing a blog post you're really proud of, or even setting up your online store just to launch it all excited and then see people click away almost immediately.
Yeah, I know that feeling all too well. It's like you build this amazing thing, but nobody wants to stick around long enough to actually see it.
Right. It's super frustrating. So that's exactly what we're diving into today. Why do website visitors leave so quickly, and what can we actually do about it?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? I mean, you put all this energy into creating a digital space. You're hoping to connect with people, maybe share some information, sell your products. And when visitors don't engage, it can be seriously disheartening. So our mission today, we're going to try to understand this digital dash and figure out some strategies to keep those visitors clicking around and interested.
Now, to get a sense of just how big this issue is, we found some interesting benchmarks from way back when. A 2012 Google report mentioned in an article called "How Do I Retain Website Visitors and Keep Them Engaged?" gives us a good starting point. Even though the online world has changed a lot since then, the report found that globally the average bounce rate, which is the percentage of people who leave a website after only viewing one page, was a whopping 47%.
Wow, 47%. That's almost half of all visitors leaving before even giving the site a chance.
Exactly. And the average time spent on a site, a measly 5 minutes and 23 seconds.
It does make you realize that grabbing and holding onto people's attention online, that's a challenge everyone faces.
It really is. And here in the U.S., the bounce rate was slightly lower at 42.5%.
Yeah.
But still pretty significant.
Yeah. That's still a lot of missed opportunities. So it seems like making a good first impression online, that's crucial. You don't have much time to capture people's attention. Which brings us to our first big topic, something that can really make or break a visitor's decision to stay. How fast your website loads.
Okay. Loading speed. I mean, it makes sense that a slow website is annoying.
Mm.
But just how impatient are online users these days?
Well, according to Kissmetrics, who specialize in understanding online behavior, nearly half of all consumers expect a web page to load in 2 seconds or less.
2 seconds. That's it?
Yep, 2 seconds. And if a website takes longer than 3 seconds to load, you can kiss a good chunk of your visitors goodbye.
Wow, that's a tiny window. So those extra seconds of loading time, they can really impact your bounce rate, huh?
Absolutely. It's like when you're online yourself, how long are you really willing to wait for a page to load before you hit that back button? People are just used to things happening quickly.
So true. So what can we do to speed things up? This article we're looking at suggests a few strategies. The first one is to minimize code.
Right. So think of your websites kind of like a recipe. Sometimes those old recipes have extra ingredients or steps that you don't actually need for the final dish. Minimizing code is all about going through that recipe and getting rid of anything unnecessary, like removing unused CSS selectors, JavaScript functions, or using something called code splitting for faster initial loads.
Okay, so basically cleaning up the code and making it more efficient.
Exactly. The goal is to make the code lean and mean so the browser can process and display your website as quickly as possible. All that extra stuff just weighs it down.
Makes sense. The next tip is to optimize images. And this one feels huge because visuals are so important online. But those big, beautiful image files can really slow things down.
You got it. Images are often the biggest culprits when it comes to slow loading times. Those high-resolution photos straight from your phone or camera, they're usually way too big for websites.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that.
They take forever to download, especially on slower connections or mobile devices. So the key is to compress them. Reduce the file size without sacrificing too much image quality. There are tons of tools and plugins that can do this automatically.
That sounds super helpful. The article also mentions specifying image dimensions in your HTML code. Why is that important?
It's basically telling the browser how much space the image will take up on the page before it's fully loaded. This way, the browser can render the rest of the page layout without waiting for the image to download first. It prevents that annoying jumpy effect where elements suddenly shift around once the image appears.
Oh, I see. It creates a smoother, faster experience, even if the image itself is still loading.
Exactly. It's all about perception. You want to make the page feel as responsive as possible. The last point on loading speed is to ensure adequate server capacity. So now we're talking about the engine that powers your website.
Right. The server. So if your server is struggling, maybe it's overloaded or not powerful enough, that can lead to delays too.
You got it. The article suggests checking with your hosting provider and considering an upgrade if needed. They also talk about dedicated hosting or using content delivery networks, CDNs.
Okay, CDNs sound a bit technical. What exactly are those?
Think of a CDN as a network of servers spread out across the globe. Instead of all your website files being stored on one server in one location, they're distributed across this network.
So it's like having backup copies of your website in different places.
More than just backups. When someone visits your site, the CDN delivers content from the server closest to them geographically.
So if I'm in London and the main server is in New York, the CDN will deliver the content from a server in Europe.
Exactly. That reduces the distance the data has to travel and makes loading times much faster. It's especially important for sites with a global audience.
That's really smart. Okay, so we've covered speed. Now let's move on to something that can be just as annoying as a slow website. Ads and those dreaded pop-ups.
Oh boy, yeah, those can be tricky. It's always a balancing act between making money and providing a good user experience.
All right, because ads can be a great source of income. But if they're not done well, they can drive visitors away.
Absolutely. And the article's first piece of advice is to avoid clutter. Basically, don't overwhelm your visitors with too many ads.
Okay, but how much is too much? Where's the line?
It depends on your site and your audience, but the key is to prioritize quality over quantity. Don't just bombard people with ads, especially if they're not relevant to the content they're viewing. Think about it. If you walk into a store and you're instantly bombarded with sales pitches, it's overwhelming. You want to create a more curated experience online.
Makes sense. The article also mentions that relevance matters. We've all seen those ads for things we have zero interest in. It's just annoying.
Totally. Irrelevant ads feel intrusive, and they can make people feel like you don't understand them at all. The article suggests using targeted advertising platforms and data analytics to personalize those ad experiences, so the ads are actually related to what the visitor is interested in.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference. If I'm reading an article about cameras, for example, an ad for camera accessories would be way more relevant than an ad for pet food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the article also points out that you need to optimize the load times of the ads themselves. Even if your website is super fast, slow loading ads can still drag everything down.
Oh, right. So even those ads need to be streamlined.
Yep. Especially those ads with videos or animations, they can be really heavy. Make sure they're optimized and placed in a way that doesn't slow down the page too much.
Got it. Okay, let's talk about pop-ups. Everyone has strong feelings about those.
Pop-ups, they can be tough if they're not implemented carefully. They can be effective for grabbing attention or promoting something specific, but you got to use them strategically.
So what does strategic use of pop-ups look like?
Think about timing and intrusiveness. Maybe use them when someone's about to leave your site, like when their mouse hovers over the back button. That's called exit intent.
So it's a last-ditch effort to re-engage them.
Exactly. Or maybe show a pop-up after they've completed a specific action, like reading an entire article. But the most important thing is to make sure those pop-ups are easy to close.
Oh, yeah. Nothing makes me leave a website faster than a pop-up I can't get rid of.
Exactly. A tiny hidden close button. That's just asking for trouble. You want to be respectful of your visitors' time and attention.
Okay, let's move on from ads and pop-ups and talk about something that's absolutely crucial for any website. Navigation. If people can't find their way around, they're going to leave.
Couldn't agree more. Navigation is key. A confusing or complicated website is like a maze. Nobody wants to get lost in a maze.
So how do we make our websites easier to navigate? The article suggests we start by simplifying navigation.
It all starts with organizing your content in a logical way. Think about how people expect to find information and group-related topics together. Use clear labels for your menu items, too. Avoid jargon or clever phrases that might confuse people.
So basically keep it simple and straightforward.
Exactly. The article also suggests using drop-down menus or collapsible navigation panels for websites with a lot of content. That way the main menu stays clean and uncluttered.
Right. It's like decluttering your website's menu so people don't feel overwhelmed with too many choices.
Exactly. The next point is to prioritize user-friendly design. This is all about making your navigation intuitive and easy to use.
So what are some key elements of user-friendly design?
Well, first, your main navigation should be easy to find. Typically at the top or side of the page, that's where people expect it to be.
Right, it's the standard placement.
Then use visual cues to show what's clickable. Things like hover effects or different colors can help. And of course, everything needs to be mobile-friendly.
Oh, yeah. Trying to navigate a desktop website on a tiny phone screen is the worst.
It's a nightmare. So make sure your website adapts to different screen sizes using responsive design.
Got it. The article also mentions clear calls to action, or CTAs. How do those fit into the navigation?
So your main navigation helps people find general information on your site. CTAs are more about guiding them towards specific actions you want them to take, like buying a product, signing up for a newsletter, contacting you, downloading something.
So CTAs are more direct and action-oriented?
Exactly. And the article suggests placing them strategically throughout your website. Use compelling language and make the buttons visually distinct so they stand out.
Okay, so it's about guiding people towards those key actions you want them to take.
Mm.
And lastly, the article recommends conducting usability testing.
Yes, usability testing is so valuable. It's basically observing real people as they try to use your website.
So you can see where they get stuck or confused.
Exactly. It's amazing what you can learn by simply watching someone else navigate your site. They'll uncover usability issues that you might never have noticed yourself because you're so familiar with your own website.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like getting a fresh perspective. Okay, we've talked about speed ads navigation. Now let's talk about the heart of any website. The content itself.
Content is king, right? All the technical stuff we've talked about won't matter much if your content isn't good.
Right. So what makes for high quality content?
It's about providing content that's informative, well-researched, well-written, and most importantly, it needs to be valuable to your audience.
So it's not just about filling up space with words. It has to have a purpose.
Exactly. It should be accurate, credible, error-free, and easy to read. People shouldn't have to struggle to understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah, nothing says unprofessional, like typos and grammatical errors.
Agreed. It's about establishing credibility and trust with your audience. The next point the article makes is about relevance and alignment.
So how do we make sure our content actually connects with our target audience?
By understanding them deeply. Know their demographics, their needs, their pain points. Figure out what makes them tick.
So it's about researching your audience and tailoring your content to their specific interests.
Exactly. You need to speak their language, address their concerns, provide solutions to their problems. If you're not providing value, they'll go elsewhere.
It's not just about what you want to say. It's about what your audience wants to hear.
Exactly. And don't forget about freshness and timeliness.
So how often should we be updating our content?
There's no one-size-fits-all answer. It depends on your industry and the type of content you create. But the key is to stay current. Regularly review and update your existing content to make sure it's still accurate and relevant.
So it's like spring cleaning for your website.
Mm-hmm.
Dust off those cobwebs and make sure everything is up to date.
And don't be afraid to create new content, too. Keep things fresh and engaging. Give people a reason to come back for more.
The article also says to remove outdated or irrelevant content, which makes sense.
It's like decluttering your closet. You got to get rid of the stuff you don't wear anymore. Same goes for your website. If content is outdated or no longer relevant, just get rid of it.
It's about quality control, making sure everything on your site is valuable and up to date. And lastly, the article emphasizes providing value and relevance, which seems to tie everything together.
Absolutely. Every single piece of content on your website should have a purpose. It should address a specific need or interest of your target audience.
Whether it's an article, a tutorial, a video, a product description, it all has to provide value.
Exactly. Ask yourself, what's in it for the visitor? If you can't answer that question, maybe that content doesn't belong on your site.
That's a good point. And just to add some credibility here, the author of this article, Paris Jane, has been with the web development company DoubleDome for over 17 years. He's got a lot of experience in building and maintaining websites.
That definitely adds weight to his advice. He's seen firsthand what works and what doesn't when it comes to keeping visitors engaged.
So to sum it all up, it seems like the key takeaway from this deep dive is that we need to put the visitor first.
Exactly. It's all about creating a positive user experience from the moment someone lands on your website. Make it fast, easy to navigate, visually appealing, and full of valuable content.
We've covered a lot of ground today. From optimizing loading speed, to streamlining ads and pop-ups, to improving navigation and curating compelling content. It's a lot to think about.
It is. But remember, all these elements work together to create a website that people actually want to spend time on.
So as you think about your own website, here's a final thought. What's one small change you can make today to improve the experience for your visitors?
Maybe it's compressing some images, simplifying your menu, updating an old blog post. It doesn't have to be a huge overhaul.
Even small changes can make a big difference in how people perceive your website.
So think about your visitors' needs, make those changes, and see what happens. You might be surprised at the results.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into website engagement.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
We'll catch you next time.
See you then.